Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Football, and I am back from Cincinnati. It was a great trip, but also not a great trip. I got to watch the Bengals. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing at this point. How are you doing, Alex?
Hey, how is it going, guys? Yeah, I mean, my team is probably doing better than yours right now.
Yes.
The score was almost like the same reverse thing, so
yeah.
Yeah. Pretty rough night for you. Afternoon, rough. I guess, or day.
Yeah. I went down there Saturday and I just got back literally like an hour and a half ago, maybe. So
okay. You're on vacation this week?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on vacation this week. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
So
week four is in the books.
Yeah, we didn't do too hot. So funny enough, I went up to see my dad because he lives near Cincinnati, and he lectured me about the importance of getting the picks right, especially if you're going to have a podcast about it. And I was like, ugh, that's rough. That's pretty rough when your family's lecturing you about how bad your takes were this week.
you could have just said, you know, that like the week prior, I had on like 13 picks.
No, you know, I could have said that, but to be honest, we both did so bad that the, to be fair, argument wouldn't be very good.
Oh, but yeah.
So bad. I mean,
for those who have been following along last week, I mean, I went 4-11-1, and Angelo went 4-11-1. We both had a push in the Denver game because we got the line at Denver -3. So
what happened to the Bears?
I guess you can jump straight into that. I mean, it's coaching, to be honest. I think, like, I'm not the biggest field supporter, but, like,
that wasn't on Fields! How do you blow a 21-point lead?
By not kicking the field goal when you're clearly, like, I mean, the team hasn't won in forever. You have a chance to kick the field. Stumbling right now.
It's a full year. The Bears haven't won in a full calendar year.
And yeah, I mean, you have a chance to kick the field goal, be in the lead of the game, give the ball back to Denver. But instead, like, the coach thinks about it too much, goes for it with the QB, and it stopped. And then, yeah, they completely lost the game because now Fields has to do more with the ball than he would have had to if they kicked the field goal and he got the ball back. So yeah, he had to push it. And in the end of the day, it was an interception, I believe, if not mistaken. It sealed the game. Yeah, I mean, there's things that I guess you can, like, put it on him, but this game I wouldn't really put it on him overall. It was the defense and the coaching. Because, the fumble and the pick aren't good for him. But, yeah, I mean, he did have a good game.
So the Bears won Tank Bowl even though Justin Fields probably had his best game of the year.
Yeah, and they currently have pick 1 and 2.
Wait, who's pick 2?
Oh, they have the Carolina Panthers pick.
They have. Oh, that's right, from the Bryce Young deal. More.
Yeah. So, I mean, Fields at least is helping them getting his replacement.
Fields is helping get.
It's like that time in which, like, Chase Claypool went and announced the pick for the Steelers, and he announced George Pickens. It's basically the same thing here. So just announcing his replacement. And so, this is what Fields is doing.
So nothing has changed. You are convinced the Bears are the worst team in the NFL, whether it's by proxy or Justin Fields or coach. It's by something. They're the worst team. They deserve it.
Oh, this game doesn't really change my mind on Fields overall. I mean, the Broncos are currently like the worst ever team in DVOA, like ever recorded. So, yeah, their offense is better though. Their offense is better, yeah. But I mean, the defense probably couldn't stop like you and me running plays. I mean, it's quite comical how bad they are. Like, they can't tackle. They blow coverages out of nowhere. I mean, Jesus, it's night and day from last year. They probably shouldn't have like let the defensive coordinator to go. I don't think he was fired. I think he just wanted to go somewhere else. But yeah, they probably shouldn't have let that happen.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. So, Bears are the worst team. Do you want to talk about the Seahawks?
I guess that's takeaway number one, is that the Bears are not good, but the Bears are not good. Denver is not good as well, and their defense is probably, I guess we can just jump into the takeaway number two. Their defense is probably going to give Zach Wilson's breakout game, because they faced the Jets.
I think that already happened. That already happened,
okay.
Dude.
Okay. I guess we can call it that then. Zach Wilson. I mean,
that was against Kansas City's defense, of all things. I saw the best drive I've ever seen from Zach Wilson, and that was to tie the game up.
To tie the game up, and he got the 2-point conversion to tie it.
Yes. Now, you could say that he also cost them the game, and actually, did you see the clip on the sideline of, I don't even know who he was talking
to? I sent you.
Oh, you sent it to me? Where Zach Wilson said, that's on me, I cost us?
Yeah, he was talking with his punter, I believe. I mean, just shows that he is growing up as a person and as a player. I mean, last year was heavily criticized because of the comments when he was asked if he had let the defense down, and he said just no. I mean, quite a bit of, like, I wouldn't say controversy, but like, there, he made the news with that quote, and apparently he had lost the locker room then. I mean, totally different player right now. You could see, I mean, the dude was, he was pretty like bummed about it. The team was all over him, though. I mean, you could see that the wide receivers were trying to lift him up. I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say it's on him, this loss, to be honest. I mean, there were some very questionable refereeing calls done at the end of the game. There were some, I mean, the defense couldn't stop KC as well. And Mahomes is like a magician. No, like at the end, he deserved at least one drive to try and make that a game, and the defense couldn't give it to him. Because I would say, like, if there's any, which is, it's pretty weird that I'm saying this, but like, if there's a reason that they were in that game, it's because of him. Because he played lights out, dude. I mean, some of those throws.
You can say but the defense got two picks. Patrick Mahomes, there were times, especially right before half, where Patrick Mahomes just did not look like Patrick Mahomes.
And he should have had three picks. That's a very bogus call. I mean, it's not the thing that it's like, I wouldn't say that that's never holding, but the thing to me is like the ref throwing the, did you see like when the ref threw the flag on that like last pick?
I did not. I actually went to bed at the start of the fourth, if I'm not mistaken, or the end of the third, one of the two.
Okay, so he throws the pick, I believe it's to Michael Carter II, and like the play, I believe it's Sauce. He has like a hold. I mean, it's a soft hold, but I would say it's a hold anyway on MVS. And then like the hold happens before the interception, and the referee doesn't throw the flag until it's a pick. So pretty sus things happening there, because like if there's an holding, you probably always send a pick, and there was quite of a delay here. I mean, it's not like instantaneous thing where like he holds him and the pick happens immediately and then the ref throws. No, I mean, He's holding him for a bit, and then Michael Carter gets the pick, and then after he gets the pick, the flag flows out of the ref's pocket. So, pretty dubious thing there. But, like, I wouldn't put this on Zach. I mean, Zach played sensationally. Some of those back shoulder throws, I mean, we were commenting it. I had no idea where the kid found that. But, I mean, this is what I loved him out of college. He had the moxie, he had, like, the quick release. He made those really good back shoulder throws in college as well. I mean, he was just missing the confidence, and he had it in that game. He was playing gunslinger.
He did. You're not wrong. Like, that was the best I think I've ever seen out of Zach Wilson.
Yeah, it's probably, like, one of the best games that I've saw, like, from... Because, like, he's the first QB that I've put my flag on. He was, like, the guy that I said, he's my guy, he will always be my guy, I think this guy will be excellent. So there's, like, an emotional connection here, purely, like, from fantasy football. So when the kid is doing good, I mean, I was over the moon for him.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad because I put money, I think we both did. We had our Kansas City covering that spread. But I was like, damn, if I knew this Zach Wilson was coming, I wouldn't have done that. Kansas City was a top 10 defense.
It was.
Zach Wilson didn't look that great up to that point. Like,
it didn't. He looked better than the years prior. He didn't look like this, though. Now he gets the Denver Broncos.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting line. Let's see if we agree on that one. That comes to pass. Cleveland Browns.
I do like, before we leave this game, I do think another takeaway that we should do is, like, Casey's offense is bad. Not great. Yeah.
It's bad. Eric, it's overly reliant on Travis Kelce. It's like, yeah, you could say it's Eric Bieniemy, but honestly, Casey's wide receivers aren't getting open.
But, I mean, like, they probably weren't getting open as much as well last year. And the offense was still okay, too good, most of the times. It's like, is Eric Bieniemy, like, should he have been given more credit than he was?
Possibly. Maybe not, because let's be real. Like, players in the Kansas City organization will say Andy Reid is the offensive coordinator there, so... I mean, if that's the case, then maybe we should be putting more blame on Andy Reid, and maybe it's just the NFL got another season to see this offense, this Chiefs offense, because let's be real, they didn't add a huge wide receiver of consequence. They just kind of thought or hoped Sky Moore would take another step, and it's probably a similarly run offense, and now teams just had another year to prepare for it.
Could be. I do think that I'm going to put it more on Bieniemy not being there. I think purportedly he wasn't getting jobs. Part of the reason why he wasn't getting jobs was because, like, people thought that it was more... Credit. Yeah, they were giving Reid and Mahomes a credit. But, I mean, if they don't figure this out... And, like, on the other hand, I'm not sure if we'll even address that game, but I think we should. But on the other hand, the Commanders look pretty good on offense.
They do.
Yeah. So, yeah. I guess we can just switch up to which game are you going to talk about?
The Browns, and really, it's not even like much of a point or much of a thing to talk about. I just want to say that the Browns looked lost without Deshaun Watson. I don't think we gave Watson enough credit, even if he's not great. The Browns were, I don't remember the Browns getting past the 50-yard line on offense when I watched them. The
Trip
defense looked
will do
fine.
That to you.
Huh?
Trip picks will do that to you.
Yeah, exactly. But so I think we need to give Deshaun Watson a little bit of credit here. The Browns offense, even without Nick Chubb, while not elite, looked serviceable, and the defense looked elite. The defense still looked elite against the Ravens, although they just had a lot, the Ravens offense just had a lot more opportunities, and the Browns defense got gassed. Like, that's what happens when your offense can't move the ball.
I would say, like, they didn't look bad versus the Ravens, but I don't think they looked as dominant as they did in, like, weeks prior. So
Miles Garrett still had a lot of good pressures against Lamar. It's just...
He did, but, like...
They had to be on the field all the time.
They went from allowing, like, 163.7 yards across, like, the first three games, like, per game, of course. And then they allowed almost 300 total yards, including 131 on the ground. So, I mean, I think part of it, like, I don't think they will be
on the field the whole time, the whole game, basically.
Yeah, like, my point is that they are a good defense still. I don't think they will be as historic as they were seeming to be at the end of the start of the season, because they probably won't play like a bummed up Joe Burrow or like a completely like generic Pittsburgh Steelers offense or a Tennessee Titans team that looks putrid. I mean,
I don't want to talk about the Titans right now.
I was going to say, okay, they look putrid usually. Not the case this past week.
I don't want to talk about it. Bill Burrow will be healthy eventually. That's all I got to say about it.
I think it's probably time. Give me your thoughts on this. Is it just like Burrow is very hurt?
Joe Burrow will be healthy eventually. That's my take.
His A-dot is like, dude is throwing nothing. He's just throwing like very short stuff, isn't he?
Yes, because his calf is hurt. And Joe Burrow's game, yes, Joe Burrow is a pocket passer. I'm not saying he's not a pocket passer. But a lot of Joe Burrow's game was predicated on getting out of the pocket, extending plays, and then finding Chase or Higgins on improvised routes by both of them. And that's just not happening. So, like, it's like half the offense is dead. So... I believe while the game was going on, they said something like the Bengals offense was a bottom two offense. Yeah, we're running at like half capacity right now. There's not much. Joe Burrow should have sat. I would have rather us lose every game than watch this.
Now, like, Chase is getting pissed off as well. I think I read some comments where we were saying like he's always open. So like when the media was questioning him about what was wrong.
10 targets! He got like 10, 12 targets!
Yeah, but they aren't winning. And not only are they not winning, they lost 27-3 versus a putrid Tennessee Titans team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they look, Ryan Tannehill look like he's an okay QB.
Yeah.
Which is,
I believe the Bengals haven't scored a touchdown in the first half of any game so far. Yeah, it's bad, dude.
They didn't even score a touchdown last week at all.
Yeah, it's bad, dude.
It's quite terrible. I guess another takeaway from this is like the demise of Derrick Henry was probably greatly exaggerated.
I mean, was it? It's pretty easy when the offense you're facing can't score a touchdown.
I mean, he's still good on the run.
He had a pass. He's playing a gas defense.
It's true. Do you know that like 50% of his attempts, like passing attempts in the league, have gone for a touchdown?
I believe it.
Derrick Henry, like, touchdown pass, like a pass of Derrick Henry at the goal line is probably the most effective play. Yeah. I actually think it's more than 50%, but I don't have it here to check.
I don't know.
Ah, well, this is gone.
So we talked about every other AFC North team. Do you want to talk about the Steelers getting routed?
Do we need to? Because we were pretty wrong on that.
No, I like. Don't want- Here's all I want to say about it. Matt Canada should be fired. That's all I want to say.
He should be fired. But, like, Tomlin was asked about it, and he was just like, no, no changes will happen.
They're high. They're insane. They're high. They're whatever euphemism you want to use. The offense looks terrible despite having all the great weapons. Like, their offense is like Atlanta, except worse, because at least Atlanta can score a touchdown.
I mean, I'm not even sure if they have all these great weapons anymore. Because, like, Deonta is now out, so they have Pickens. And, like, Freiermuth is now out as well.
Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks, so.
Yeah. It's so, just... I mean, now they have a guy who runs on mud in Najee Harris. They have, like, a pretty, I wouldn't say, like, explosive, because I believe, like, he has had less explosive plays than Najee so far. But a running back that looks better than Najee overall, and they're not giving him the carries. And, yeah, I mean, I don't see the weapons anymore. I think this is, like, a bottom pit. This is, like, I guess we can jump on straight into this next game, but they are the Patriots.
Okay. So, to be fair, because this is another game we agreed on, to be fair to us.
I called it an upset.
Yeah, you did, but to be fair to us, we did not expect the Dallas Cowboys to hand Bill Belichick the worst loss in his career. Not of the season, not of the last 5 years, his career.
I don't even know what to tell you, dude. I like Mac Jones, but Jesus, dude.
It's bad.
Like,
it's bad, dude.
He gets away with that, like, that to me was, like, mind-boggling. He gets away with that, like, across-the-field route that he did, like, I believe it went for big yardage. And then, like, a few plays later, he did it again.
And they just went to Bill Belichick on the sideline, who just had his head down and was shaking his head. Like, why would you do that again?
I mean,
again,
that's something like I've never played football, but I'm pretty sure that's something you're taught like straight away. Just don't do that.
Yes, don't throw across your body.
And he's like, I'm gonna do it again, and picked.
Like,
at least he's taking accountability though, because like then it gets to the sideline and he's like touching his chest, saying that it was him. So. But to be frank, like, to the people that will start talking about Zappy and so on, because you just know that that will happen from what we saw this year.
Bill Belichick said it in the press conference, and I know coach speak, but I honestly believe him when he said, there was no reason for us to keep him in that game. He'll be the starter next week. This, you're making something out of nothing. I agree with that. There was no reason. The game was over. There was no reason for Mac Jones to be in that football game. None.
Yeah, and I mean, even if Zappe is the starter for some, like, God-forbidden reason, like, even if he's the starter, he won't look better because, like, the problem isn't just Mac Jones. It is, like,
no,
the offensive line can't block. They can't pass block. They can't run block. The Patriots can't run the ball. They like his, their weapons are completely like the Mario Douglas is like their main wide receiver. The Mario Douglas is, I believe it was either a seventh or an undrafted free agent this year.
Yep.
Like this collection of guys, like Juju has been a bust, massive bust. Like his knee is completely destroyed. Like the dude is slower than Najee. Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne, DeMario Douglas. I mean, is this... There's just no way anyone succeeds with that. And then, like, on defense, they now lost Judon. And I believe, like, their rookie, Christian Gonzalez will also be out. I'm not sure if it's indefinitely, but will be out for a while. So, I mean...
And he was looking good! He was looking really good!
I mean, like, first few weeks, I believe he went versus AJ Brown, he went versus Tyree, he now went versus CeeDee, and, like, there was a complete difference in, like, when he was playing versus CeeDee versus what CeeDee faced after him. He was, I believe he was about to lock down CeeDee as well. Dude has been pretty good, and now they lost him as well. I mean, this team, it's terrible, dude. I don't know what to tell you. This team isn't winning many games, that's for sure.
It's rough. It's just rough, dude. I'm done talking about depressing games. You ought to just get to your top 10.
No. I do have, like,
three
more takes that I at least want to talk about.
Okay.
And, like, the first one is, like, are the Eagles, like, the least impressive undefeated team right now?
Probably.
Because the Eagles don't look good.
They don't look bad. You can't say they look bad.
They don't look bad, but, like, they don't look dominant. That's my point.
They look beatable. They do look beatable, first off, but I will say that may be more because the 49ers look so dominant that it makes their wins look less impressive. Because the 49ers just, like, take everyone out to the shed and just, you're done, dude. I messaged Austin and I said, hey, Austin, because the next game is the Cowboys versus the 49ers. I said, hey, Austin, how do you feel about being sacrificed to the 49ers, Jets? And he didn't even say anything. He's just like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, did you see, like, I'm not sure. Did you, like, follow up in that game? Were you following it?
No. They just handed Arizona the L. I know Arizona didn't come out to their, like, normal three touchdowns.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Eagles. I'm talking about the Eagles.
No, I definitely didn't watch any of that game.
Okay. So, yeah, so Washington was down. I believe it was 24-31, if not mistaken, or something like that. And then they go down. They score a touchdown with no time on the clock. And, like, so it's 31-30 to the Commanders. So extra point ties it. 2-point conversion wins them the game. Ron Rivera goes for the PAT. So it's a tight game. I believe they either don't get the ball or they get the ball, but, like, immediately lose it again.
So that makes sense because Ron Rivera is a very conservative coach. Would you have gone for it if that was you in that moment? Would you have rather lost the game there than go to OT against the Eagles?
I mean, you are a 7-point underdog. I would just go for it. You have a chance. It's a division game. You have a chance to win it. Go for it. You were not expected to be in the game to start, so. And, like, the thing that annoys me the most out of all of that is that I usually am okay with Rivera as a coach. I think he's an okay coach. I don't think he's terrible. But then his reasoning for kicking the PAT is not that he wanted to give the defense another go, so on and so forth. No, he says that the offense was tired.
The offense was tired.
Yes, because they had, like, one big drive to tie up the game. And to be frank, it was a pretty, like, clutch drive there in the end.
The offense was tired.
But the offense was tired. Those guys out there were tired, so he didn't want to risk the 2-point. I mean,
the offense was tired.
It's what? It's 2 yards, man. Come on. Like, have some guts.
Tired.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, like, glancing through the games, I'll just say, like, the Chargers almost blowing another one is also, like, I think
needs to be fired, dude. Like,
Staley gets constantly, like, saved. Like, the week prior, it was, like, the Cousins pick. This week, it was a clutch throw by Herbert. Listen, I mean, my guy.
The Chargers could easily be in the same boat as the damn Bengals.
They could. They just have
without the injury to their quarterback. Without the injury to their quarterback.
Yeah. They have an alpha QB. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if you saw it, but then I believe like he broke one finger, Herbert, in his non-throwing end. So he was playing with a cast on the finger. So
he's
with a
not
cast on
to
the
be
finger,
missing the game.
No, because it's the bye this week.
Yeah.
So with the cast on his finger, I mean they call, I believe it's a third and short play, and they call a tush push. I mean the dude has a broken finger. Like, what are we doing? Like, of course he doesn't have the same grip on the ball, and he won't like risk the ball to push, like through the sticks, because like the dude has a broken finger. Staley, what are we doing? Like, I think
they wouldn't
like,
expect it. They didn't see it coming. They wouldn't expect it. That's why he did it.
And then I believe it's Asante Samuel, if not mistaken. He makes the pick, and he has a pick six basically to close out the game, but he goes down. So now the Raiders have all of the timeouts. So a three and out gives the Raiders the ball back. So it's like defense, coaching. I mean, everyone wants the Chargers to lose the game. They are starting to feel like they're cursed, to be honest. But like in the end, Herbert saves them again. So
the like, Chargers all of those guys, don't want the Chargers to win.
They don't. I'm pretty sure they don't. Staley's probably like tired of being an head coach. He just doesn't want to get fired. Just doesn't want to fire himself. Like, and in his resignation, so he's just trying to get fired.
Bad.
I mean, I guess we can talk about the Saints, but there's no point in making you feel any worse. And like, Carr was obviously hurt. I don't think really there's a point in doing that. So I would say, talk about last night game.
The Giants. So I was actually talking. So did you know Justin is a Giants fan, I assume?
Yes.
I was talking to Justin, and I didn't realize what Daniel Jones' completion was. And it was like closing the end of the first half. And I was like, dude, the Giants offense looks freaking terrible. And he was like, but Daniel Jones is like 14 for 17. I was like, no, the offense looks bad. It doesn't matter what his completion percentage is. They're not pushing the ball down the field. They're calling a lot of really bad QB run plays that are just not being executed. That it's just all bad. It's just all bad.
I mean, there was a point in there and like, I blamed Jones for some of the mistakes that he was making. But at one point, I was just giving like a full pass because that O-line is terrible. Like, I don't think anyone would be able to do anything in that O-line because he was getting pressured like immediately. There was, he had like 1 nanosecond sacked. 1 nanosecond sacked. I mean, like, their most effective play was like drop back, run. Just run for your life, Daniel. Any dimes, run. But
you're
I mean,
wrong. It was their most effective play.
It was. I mean, we couldn't stop him.
You could, because they only scored 3 points. But yeah,
I mean, that's because like we also had like I believe it was 11 sacks, which is a new franchise record for a game. So,
can we talk about? Because I went to bed a little after the half laughing. Can we talk about the Seattle offense going into the half where they just kept running Kenneth Walker, and Kenneth Walker kept going out of bounds, and he kept going out of bounds. And like Pete Carroll was obviously trying just to get to the half, but they were approaching the 50.
But it wasn't though.
They ended it on like their own 45. They were definitely approaching the 50.
Yeah,
and
I
if
mean,
they would have taken a few shots, they might have actually had a chance to score more points going into the half.
Like who's usually commentating on? Because I don't know these things, but who's
usually
commentating?
I was watching the Manning cast.
Oh, the Manning cast.
And even Peyton was saying, "What are they doing?"
Is it like Collinsworth, who's on Monday Night Football? I know.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so let's say it's Collinsworth. I mean, dude was pushing like that Kenneth Walker was going out of bounds, and like it was a communication mistake there because Pete just wanted to go to the half and so on and so forth. But like, it was clearly like Pete was trying to do something and see if, because like one of K9's best traits, Kenneth Walker's best trait, is that he's able to break a breakaway run, and he did. He did have one breakaway run. And so I think Pete was just trying to see if anything pops up, because even after he didn't went out of bounds, he just like run through the middle. Collinsworth was like, oh, okay, so this is the half. And like Pete calls a timeout. So Pete was clearly like trying to get the drive going. He wanted to have something. He just didn't want to risk a turnover. He didn't want to risk a turnover. I mean, when you have a guy who breaks runs like he does, like Kenneth Walker was one of the best like explosive run type of guys last year. So when you have a guy like him, of course, like you want to at least give him a chance to break some.
And I get a chance. Every single opportunity, like you didn't even mix it up.
Pete doesn't need to. And if you bet like anything kind of Walker yards related, you're probably happy.
Like it's just bad. Like call a pass play. Put the defense on their toes and then run Kenneth Walker. I don't get it.
I mean, but the offense looked sort of rough for most of it. I don't think they looked good. They were just bailed out by the defense.
I mean,
Thibodeau had a great game by the Giants, though.
Not very many people. Who?
No, I think Thibodeau, Kayvon Thibodeau, their second year edge rusher. The guy, yes. I believe it was from Oregon, if not mistaken.
Yes. He looked like he was everywhere.
Yeah. And he almost had like a pick six.
He did. He looked like he was kicking himself when he dropped that.
Yeah. Barely goes through his hands. And Drew Lock played a few snaps here, and like
Drew
he didn't
Locke
look
looked bad, dude.
Did it look bad? Because like one of the throws
did look bad.
I don't think it did though.
There was at least one play where I recall where he had the pocket like clean and he started to run immediately.
But I think that was a QB draw, wasn't it? At least it seemed like it.
It didn't look like a QB draw to me.
And then he like threw one pass to the sideline for a big gain to JSN. JSN dropped it.
True. The Noah Fant.
The Noah Fant.
Which, by the way, you didn't see the Manning cast, which is very unfortunate. Peyton actually went through the play and went through how that happened, whose assignment that was, and why it should have been more like a 5-yard completion, not a 50-yard completion.
Yeah, I
was really good, dude. The Manning cast was really, really good.
I wish I had it like last year. The Manning cast and the other broadcast were available here in Portugal in the NFL Game Pass app, which is like different from yours because I think this is Game Pass International, so it's different. Yeah. But this year, like DAZN got the rights for it, and not only I don't have that. I don't have any sort of other broadcasts, just like the regular ones. I can't also like watch multiple games at once, which was possible last year. They advertised it all the time, like in between breaks. I also don't have ads, so it's a worse experience overall, to be honest. I don't love it.
Ads.
I mean, I'm just like hearing nothing for like the entirety of the timeouts and all of the breaks.
Oh. So
it's not great. Yeah. I just get like the DAZN ads.
That's rough.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's like anything else that should really be like discussed here in terms of games. Like, okay. There's like, we probably forget like the game of the week, which like the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that before moving.
Yeah, that's probably, like, the last thing that we need to discuss.
So let's two takeaways from that game. One, the Bills' defense, very good. The Dolphins' defense, not very good.
That's it?
That's my takeaway. That's my takeaways. Like, what else do you want? A-Chain had two touchdowns again. But I mean, the Dolphins couldn't stop anyone, dude. Dolphins defense couldn't stop anyone.
They couldn't. Yeah,
Did you see the Diggs play where Diggs just like went through basically the entire Dolphins defense?
Yeah, like 300 flags were thrown. He just breaks every single tackle and goes for the touchdown.
Yeah. Just
whatever could go right went for them. But yeah, they looked like, I didn't expect them to look like the best team in the league right now. I mean, spoiler alert, they are the best team in the league to me right now.
The Bills?
The Bills. Yeah, because not only did they beat a team that I thought was the best team in the league, they also managed to stop the offense that I thought was the best offense in the league. I mean, they'll...
Is holding them to 4 touchdowns really stopping them?
They held them to 20 points. It was 3 touchdowns, I believe.
Oh, 3 touchdowns. Okay. My bad.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
They held them to 20 points. I mean, it's... The offense scored 70 last week. They are, like, one of the highest, like, one of the funnest and, like, most explosive offenses in the league. And they managed to hold every single one of those pieces, like, pretty quietly. I mean, Tyreek Hill had, like, 58 yards. Jalen Waddle had 46. I mean, and, like, if it wasn't for one, like, 55-yard run from Devon, let me try and say this right, A'Shaun, because now, like, he wants to be pronounced A'Shaun, I believe. So Devon A'Shaun, I believe that's how you pronounce it.
He can change the spelling of his name then. His name is spelled H-A.
he issued a media thing. So I believe now it's Devon A'Shaun, if not mistaken. Get it right, Angelo. Devon? Get it right. Devon.
D-E-V-O-N.
Yes. Get the tables, Devon.
Anyway, go on.
But yeah, I mean, they managed to stop like the best offense in the league, the most explosive offense in the league. So I'll give it to them. Like, Allen looked good. The defense looked... The one thing with them right now is that they lost Tre'Davious White. I believe he tore his Achilles. So he's out for the year.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so that's the one big thing with them. How will they, like, adapt to that? But, like, they're playing this good of a defense without Von Miller. So Von Miller will be back eventually. And, I mean, the pass rusher is getting there. I mean, I believe they had 4 sacks on Tua. I believe Tua was sacked once.
I have a feeling our lists are going to be very different now that I'm hearing this.
They probably are. And I mean, just to finish up the games here, just want to give one small nod to Anthony Richardson. My guy almost made a comeback down 23-0. And he can score more than 14 points.
It only took... Listen, let's be honest here. The man still had under 50% completion. He can score more than 21 on with his legs. And granted, he has looked very explosive. I'm not saying that, but...
I mean, if only he had wide receivers with hands or players like receiving the ball with them. I count at least 6 drops. 6 drops.
Now, wait a minute. When I made this argument going into the season, you were like, oh, he has Michael Pittman. He has Josh Downs. You know,
most targeted wide receiver on the Colts, if I'm not mistaken.
Stop. So, no. You don't get to pull the he doesn't have targets card after pulling the...
No, I'm saying that last Sunday, the targets couldn't catch. That's all I'm saying. But we'll talk about more in the fantasy episode, because he's more of a fantasy story than an actual, like, NFL story. Although, like, he hasn't been playing bad. He isn't, like, the number one rookie QB right now. So.
No. Say who it is. Say who it is, Alex. You know who it is. I know who it is. Thank you!
Yeah, he's the best rookie QB right now. There's not even a point here. I mean, my guy is playing like with backup tackles, with backup guards, backup centers. Like his wide receiver core looks like they were made out of like employees of Walmart, and he's balling. I mean, I've never seen a guy went like from that much of a talent in college to this little of a talent in the pros and still succeed.
Joe Burrow
at least had T. Higgins and Joe Mixon. And he had like, okay, an old, but he had AJ Green. Just, it was old. Old AJ Green is probably better, like, I don't want to be, like, too critical of these guys because they are performing and, like, Nico Collins looks pretty good. But, like,
yeah.
I've... Like,
Don't you dare. You, going into this season, if I asked you, you would have said the Colts' weapons are miles ahead of the Texans.
I would, for sure.
No. We're not getting the world's smallest violin out for Anthony Richardson right now.
I can. I mean... Stroud looks the best. Give it time, though, because I don't think like the dude ends with zero interceptions because like he currently is on pace for like 5,000 yards, 23 or 25 TDs, and zero interceptions. So I don't expect that to continue. I also don't expect like... I don't expect Anthony Richardson's stats to continue as well because right now he's on pace for almost 1,000 yards running and I believe it's 28 rushing TDs. Can you imagine if he had almost like 30 rushing touchdowns in his rookie season?
I wonder what the parlay is for Anthony Richardson rushing touchdowns.
Oh, it's I usually bet on props like in the NFL. I don't bet on lines a lot.
Okay.
And like his touchdown as I believe like week one it was plus 180 around that. Right now it's getting closer and closer to plus 100. Yeah, it's starting to be like, it's not like to the same level of CMC, but it's starting to be like one of those guys that you expect a touchdown. It's getting much closer to a yards line, a Lamar line, than a like a random rushing QB guy.
Yeah. Okay, so go ahead. Then let's get to these top 10s. Who's your 10?
Okay, so power rankings.
You're wrong, 10.
Let me start with my honorable mention first. Because you don't have one, but I have one. I have a team.
No, because you make the list or you don't make the list. You do not get... There are no participation trophies with me. So go on.
I'm giving my honorable mention.
Give your participation trophy.
Yeah, Cleveland gets my participation trophy here. I just think, like, the defense is still pretty good. And when Watson is back, I think the offense will start to find its rhythm. So I'm giving them like the 11th spot right now. And I'm just going to believe that like the offense isn't historic, but they also are better, even better than what they were last week. And that Baltimore is just like finding their offense right now. So with that out of the way, my 10th team right now is the Seattle Seahawks. My ninth team is the Baltimore Ravens. At 8, I got the Los Angeles Chargers. 7th is the Detroit Lions. 6, the Dallas Cowboys. At 5, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. At 4, I have the Miami Dolphins. At 3, I have the KC Chiefs. My second team is the San Francisco 49ers, and the first is the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, I can't believe you just said that. I cannot believe you just said Buffalo Bills over the 49ers.
I did.
Oh. It's okay because my list is going to be even more blasphemous to you.
You go. Oh, I'm waiting.
You're waiting? Okay.
Give me.
Okay. My number 10 team is the Baltimore Ravens.
Number 10. Okay, so we are close, at least.
My number 9 team is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yikes.
My number 8 team is the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay. You're giving them a bit more respect.
I am giving them a bit more respect. I can't believe. The 7 is the Detroit Lions.
Same 7.
The 6
is the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
You're wrong. You are very wrong, my friends.
Yeah, 6. Yeah. Yeah. 6. By the way. 5 is the Dallas Cowboys. I'd put them higher because the defense looks amazing, but I just don't believe the Cowboys ever. So I'm not sure if I'd ever put them in a top 3, but I mean, I guess we'll see.
Okay.
4 is the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, so we have the same team there as well.
3 is the Philadelphia Eagles. 2 is the Kansas City Chiefs. And the San Francisco 49ers, number 1, where they belong.
So, why are you so low on Buffalo, man?
Because I've seen them, the offense particularly, struggle too much. I've seen Josh Allen shrink in too many big-time games. Granted, the game against the Dolphins wasn't one of them. And now their defense is even more injured. So I think we're about to see them struggle. I think the next matchup against the Dolphins, the script is getting flipped on them.
I want to point out that the offense struggling to score, they are currently the 2nd highest scoring offense in the league and the 2nd in terms of points allowed.
That's true.
I don't know, man. Like, I look at the Buffalo Bills and they're the cream of the top right now. I mean, the offense is clicking. They struggled week 1 versus the Jets, divisional opener, away to the New York Jets. I mean, it's a game, it happens. It was the same as the Seattle Seahawks and the LA Rams.
True.
But since then, I mean, they have done pretty well. I mean, they beat what to me was the best team in the league, 48-20. They beat the Commanders team that looks solid and that just scored like 30 points on the Eagles, 37-3. And they beat the Raiders, 38-10. I mean, it's not the best of competitions, but they played like the Dolphins and they still look dominant. So to me, they're the best team in the league. And I think you're too high on Philadelphia.
I think give it 2 weeks and you'll be regretting that statement. I don't
versus
think
the Jags.
I don't think give it 2 weeks and me having Kansas City or the 49ers 1 and 2 is going to look bad.
I just want to point out that the Buffalo Bills play the Jags next week and then they play the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I'll be feeling bad about my current power rankings.
We'll see.
We will see. What do you see in Philadelphia, man? I think Philadelphia is... they are fraudulent right now.
I don't think so.
I actually think that Philadelphia will be one of those teams that we look and they like... they struggle to win some games that they should win easily.
What do I see? I put a 3-1 team ahead of them. What do you mean? What do I see? I'm still down.
You have them as a top 3 team.
I do have them as a top 3 team. Because
to be fair, I have them as a top 5, but still.
Yeah, but they're still 4-0. Like, they've still beaten everyone they've been in front of. Yeah, they're probably not very good in the spread. If I'm not mistaken, they're 2-2 in the spread. Or worse. But they're still 4-0 team. They're still one of the deepest teams in the league. They still have Jalen Hurts. They still have those weapons. What's that?
Not at linebacker. Their linebackers are terrible.
That's true.
But to me, like, I think they're one of those teams that they will eventually get, like, they will get beat the breaks off right now, and they will, like, after that game, they will start to look much better. So I think it's like by week 7, I think the Dolphins destroy them, to be honest. And then, like, yeah, and I think you start to see, like, the Eagles from old.
Possible.
I think they struggle next 2 weeks as well. I don't think... it's weird that I'm saying struggle for a team that has scored, like, 25 or more points every single week. But, yep. Like, I'm saying struggle to win games comfortably. So, like, every single team will be in those games. So it's the Rams and the Jets. I think both teams will be in those games until the end. It's also 2 road games. So they go to Los Angeles and they go to New Jersey. But, like, last team that I think we should... You don't have the Chargers here, but you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
Why do you still love Baker? And I was probably wrong on him being terrible.
One, they've beaten the team. Like, I don't think if you were going to put a 2-2 team there, I don't think it's the Chargers. I think it's the Browns. Because, yeah, you can argue the last game against the Ravens, but they didn't have Deshaun. They've looked just fine every game with Deshaun. And the defense has looked dominant when Deshaun has played. So I think the 2-2 team that you should be arguing at 10 is not the Chargers. It should be that your participation trophy team, the Browns. But with that said, the Buccaneers are 3-1. They have beaten everyone who's in front of them. And by the way, the defense looks pretty damn good.
Does the defense look good, or the Saints are just not good?
I mean, Carr is hurt. So you could make that argument, but yes, the defense has looked pretty good.
Maybe I need to give him more credit. I just don't trust Baker. It's my issue. Mm-hmm. Like, Walmart Johnny Manziel just doesn't inspire me a lot of confidence.
Johnny Manziel. At least give him Whole Foods Johnny Manziel. Come on. Okay.
Whole Foods Johnny Manziel. I mean, the only, like... team that has more than one... No, wait. No, the only, like, good team that they have faced is the Eagles, and they got destroyed, so... I think it's fair to at least be, like, not super on board with them.
But not putting him in the top 10?
No, I'm not putting him in the top 10.
Okay.
I still don't even think they win that division.
Okay.
That is, unless, like, Arthur Smith thinks that it's okay to start Desmond Ridder the rest of the season. It's like, we didn't get to talk about that game, but Desmond Ridder should have been benched. Like, by the half.
What did I tell you about Ridder going into the season?
I expected them to at least look a bit better than he is. So I did say, like, they would win with whichever QB was at the helm. I didn't expect, like, Ridder to be this bad. So that's my main issue here.
I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. It's probably Heinicke time at this point.
Yeah. So.
But he isn't going for Heinicke, so we are just stuck in this.
You're stuck in the Ferrari with a V4 engine. That's what you're stuck in.
I mean, at this point, I'm not even sure if that's a Ferrari. It's starting to look more and more and more like, I don't know.
A sedan?
A sedan. A Subaru.
A Subaru. That's, so.
But yeah, our rankings in. I have them both here, so next week we can put teams up. Just adjust them as the weeks go.
Okay.
And I mean, I guess we can just skip to the last part of the show here, which is the Lions. Do we go better than, like, 4-11 this week?
There has to be. there is no... Listen, last week was by far the worst week we have ever had collectively. At least, like, most weeks... one of us were going off. This week, like, every single bet we agreed on except one did not hit. Every single one.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible. There's just no way of hiding it. I mean, we were bad.
Yeah. And that's after a week where, what did I go? What did you say I went last week?
I believe you went like 12. No, you went 13-3.
13-3. I went from 13-3 to 4-11-1 or something like that.
Yeah, 4-11-1.
So, no. No. I mean, better weeks are ahead. Better weeks are ahead.
Okay, so shall we just do like, I do one game, you do another?
I'm cool with that.
Okay.
Give me 1 second. All right, I'm here.
Okay. I will start this one. So it's the Washington it's the Chicago Bears at the Washington Commanders. The spread is Commanders -6.5, and the over-under line is 44.5.
Oh, man, the freaking Bears, man.
I guess I will go first, and I will take... I actually don't like to do this, but I'll take the Commanders -6.5. I don't usually love to take big lines in primetime games, but I think the Bears come down back to earth. Or come back to earth, I guess.
I mean, give me the Bears. Give me the Bears. It's 6.5 points. Justin Fields is coming back off his best game ever. I think... Oh, man. I think that even if the coaching is terrible... And they will for sure find a way to lose games. I'm not putting the Commanders on upset alert or anything. Because until I see the Bears are capable of winning a football game, I'm not going to say it. Because it looks like they will like lose just in spite of winning at this point. So.
Not looking good. I wouldn't touch them. Just
6.5 points is a lot of points, though. So
it is. It is. A lot of points, indeed.
That's kind of where my logic's at.
Okay. So
the next one I have, ours might be different because I believe you're using the website, I'm using the app.
Yeah.
My next one is Buffalo Bills, or Jacksonville Jaguars at Buffalo Bills. 5.5 points for the Bills.
Oh, yeah. This one we have the same because it's the London game. So it's the one that starts earlier.
Oh, yeah. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars. 5.5 points.
It's an interesting line here because Jacksonville played in London last week and they are staying
dominated.
In London. They are not coming.
Dominated.
I wouldn't like say they dominated. I think like
dominated the Falcons.
Ritter just did the Ritter, so
dominated.
But it's interesting because the Jacksonville are staying in the Jacksonville Jaguars are staying in London, so they
and they get 5 points.
And they get 5.5 points. Give me the Bills.
What?
Yeah. Give me the Bills. I have to stand behind the currently best team for me. And as I said to you before we started recording. I had Jacksonville as one of my honorary teams. But, like, the idea of Jacksonville is probably better than what Jacksonville is currently producing. Because like, it isn't being talked enough. Trevor Lawrence doesn't look good, to be honest. He's struggling. Yeah. So give me the Bills. Bills -5.5. I think it's a very tricky spot. But
oh, God. I hope we don't have the same next game because I have no idea what I'm doing with that.
I think we do. It's I have the New York Giants at the Miami Dolphins.
No.
The Dolphins are 11 points favorites.
Yes, and they are.
The over under is the third highest on the week. It's 49.5.
Oh no. No idea what to do, Alex. Just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do, Alex. Because the Giants look terrible, right? We can acknowledge the Giants look terrible. They look anemic. But 11...
It's a lot of points. And I believe this line was actually lower. I mean, of course, it was lower for the Monday night fiasco. But I'm going with the Giants. Giants plus 11 here. Because, like, the Giants aren't good, but at least Saquon should be back, and the Dolphins' defense can stop anyone. But on another end, it's sort of like one of those games in which, like, the Dolphins are completely pissed off and they will just dominate the Giants. So I can see either way, but I'm going with the Giants plus 11 right now.
One second. Alrighty, hello. Alright, sorry, we had some technical difficulties. You said the Giants for the points.
Giants plus 11, yes.
Alright, I'm going to agree with you because honestly I have no idea what to do with this one. Like, I'm so conflicted. I want to go Dolphins because the Dolphins look like they rout everyone that isn't named the Bills, but at the same time, the defense looks so bad that 11 points is a lot. Like, if it was just to win the game, Dolphins all day. Dolphins all day. Yeah. But of the course. Defense looks so bad. Giving 11 points to that putrid defense just doesn't feel right. There's an icky feeling that comes with giving the Dolphins defense 11
points. Yeah, it's too much to me as well.
Oh, Lord.
But, like, anything but, like, anything lower than this, I'd probably take the Dolphins, so.
I agree with that. So, speaking of hard decisions, continuing on, the Carolina Panthers at the Detroit Lions. Oh, boy. And the Detroit Lions get 9.5 points.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. So, are there any injuries to the Panthers that I should be made aware of?
Okay, so Bryce technically isn't injured, but he clearly wasn't 100%. And yes. Miles Sanders, it's the same thing. He wasn't out, but he wasn't 100% either. So both should have sat. They aren't. I believe the secondary has some losses, but it's not from this week. It's from the week prior. So, and they should be getting Frankie Louvu, if not mistaken, back. I don't think he played last game.
So here's the question. Is Bryce and Miles Sanders going to be 100% for this game against the Lions?
Should be better than they were last week.
Should be better than they were last week?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bryce should be fine. Miles, I'm not 100% sure. But I would say they are both close to, like, 90%.
That's pretty good.
You're never fully healthy in the NFL. Isn't that what they say?
9.5 points is a lot of points.
It is.
It's a lot of points. Give me the Carolina Panthers, 9.5 points.
You have taken every single underdog so far.
Well, some I think are going to upset, but a lot of these are like 11 points, 9.5 points, 5.5 points to the Jaguars in frickin' London. Like, come on.
True. That said, I'm going with the Detroit Lions minus 9.5.
Okay.
I just think Detroit is a much better team right now.
Hey, I don't blame you.
I've taken, like, 3 favorites so far on big lines. So this should be another fun week.
One of us is going to be really right and one of us is going to be really wrong, and I love it.
Yeah. Next up is the Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ravens are 4-point favorites. Over-under is one of the lowest of the week, if not mistaken. If not the lowest, actually. Yeah, it's the lowest. 38.5 points.
To me, that's just way too, like, that's way too little of a spread for how bad the Steelers' offense has looked.
Yeah. Usually, like, in this sort of close games, I would usually take the points. But, like, Pickett might be out even, to be honest. So, yeah, I'm going with Baltimore minus 4.
Yeah, I agree with you. Baltimore minus 4. It's the move.
It is a divisional game, so I wouldn't even be shocked if the Steelers won, but yeah, like, I can't in good faith go with Baltimore, with the Steelers.
All right, so speaking of how the mighty have fallen, we are now over with the days where Houston gets double-digit spreads every week. Houston Texans at Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons, 2.5-point favorites. Give me the Texans. What about the best rookie quarterback so far this year?
I guess
Desmond Ridder?
Give me the Texans. Let's move on. Give me the Falcons -2.5.
Give you the Falcons -2.5.
Okay. I'm pulling a U-turn. This is the game in which Stroud looks like he's a rookie.
Okay.
Jesse Bates will have a pick.
Jesse Bates will have a pick. Or two. Okay. Well.
Okay. Next up to me, it's the New Orleans Saints at the New York. I can't even speak anymore. Versus the New England Patriots. The Patriots are -1.5-point favorites, and the over-under is 40 on the dot.
Uh-huh.
And can I just pick neither?
That's kind of how I feel, too. I know who I'm going here.
But I'm just going to take the Patriots. Like, Bill Belichick out of a blowout game. Like, defense will be ready, even though they don't have corners anymore, and they lost their best pass rusher. Defense will be ready somehow. And I think this is one of those Patriot games in which, like, they come out angry. They beat them, like, 29-8.
Yeah. I agree with that. So, because of that, give me the Patriots. I think this is a... Even with all those injuries to the Patriots, this has a chance for a rout.
Yeah.
For the Patriots, so
Carr probably not even close to 100% anymore, and he will probably push the play. So.
Yeah, and he's probably going to get decimated if he does, because
yeah,
100%. Okay. Oh, do I have to say this one?
You have to say that one.
The Tennessee Titans versus the stupid Colts. It's basically a pick 'em with 1-point favorite to the Colts.
Could you do that?
You know, I already said I'm never picking the Titans in any given week.
So you are standing behind Anthony Richardson and the worst organization in football, the Indianapolis Colts. Respect.
Yeah. Because they're not the boring Titans.
Give me the Colts as well. Indy -1. Give me my guy, Anthony Richardson.
Stupid game. Oh no, I see what's
next
coming
up. We might not have the same game here, because I have the Eagles at the Rams. The Eagles are 4-point favorites.
Yeah.
And the over-under is 50.5. Which is the second highest of the week, if not mistaken. Yeah, second
highest of the week. Gone are the days of Eagles having 7-point spreads.
Yes. And I'm taking the Rams. Rams +4.
You're taking the Rams +4?
And it's my upset of the week.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you. Give me the Rams +4. It's the points. Yeah.
I think, like, the only thing here that concerns me is that Stafford was, like, dude was wobbling out there for, like, most of the second half. I believe he has a hip injury, but, like, he's Stafford, so he will play through it. McVay said as much. But, like, Does the injury, like...
I mean, it could.
Punishes them enough? I don't know.
It could.
Cup could be back this game, if I'm not mistaken.
We could have a Cup sighting? Ooh.
We could have a Cup sighting. Pukenekua might become irrelevant again.
One can dream. One can dream.
Okay. Only fitting that you call the next one.
That's the one I was worried about. Oh, this is rough. Cincinnati Bengals at Arizona Cardinals. The Bengals are 3-point favorites. Is Joe Burrow 100% yet? I'm going to Google
Burrow search. Probably won't be 100% anytime soon. Like, the question is he even like 60% at this point?
Give me the stupid Eagles.
Not the Eagles, the Cardinals.
The Cardinals, give me the stupid Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals probably win this game.
We're about to lose to the Cardinals. We're about to,
you
lose,
are.
To lose to the Cardinals.
The Cardinals are like not a bad football team, which is pretty shocking. And I'm not saying that the Bengals are a bad football team, but the Bengals are probably a bad football team.
We haven't scored a touchdown in a single half, first half that we have played yet.
Yeah. Like, Joshua Dobbs is playing better than Burrow. That was not on my bingo card.
Why did you have to say that? Why did you have to say that?
But he's probably playing better. Okay, next game I have, it's the KC Chiefs at the Minnesota Vikings. Chiefs, yes, are minus point, are 5-point favorites. The over-under is the highest on the week. It's 53. And I'm going with the Vikings. Vikings plus 5.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I agree with you.
Like, KC offense just is not clicking.
They're not. And that's the
is
problem.
Is that Minnesota? I mean, God is probably against us because he's always against the Vikings, but like.
But here's the thing. The good thing about the Kansas City team is the defense. All right, that's what's really carrying this team to wins. And I don't think it's impossible that it could carry KC to a win versus this team. But honestly, a self-aware Minnesota Vikings who are like, yeah, we're just going to give up on this running thing. And we're just going to pass it a million times. I'm afraid, dude. I'm afraid of the scenario where the Minnesota Vikings put up a bunch of points in the first half and KC just can't do it, can't keep up.
Thing is, like, the running game has been slightly better the past few weeks. I mean,
with
Madison
Cam Akers.
Running.
With Cam Akers, yes.
Cam Akers barely played, dude.
He looked good with his touches. He was their most efficient runner.
I don't.
Say
no,
I'm
that,
wrong.
That's not possible. Yeah, I think you're wrong. I will check, but I don't think that's possible, dude.
Say like, I'm wrong.
Madison had like 5 yards per carry, dude.
Look it up.
I mean, okay, yeah, he had 5 carries for 40 yards. He probably broke a long one of 10.
Boom.
Yeah, I mean, like,
boom.
Madison had 5.6. I'm even changing the numbers now. This is terrible. I mean, Madison had 5.6 and a much better, like, much larger sample size because he had 17 carries to Cam Akers 5. Dude, Cam Akers will never happen. Stop it.
Let me dream.
He's as buried as your guy, Terrence Marshall Jr., who just had like 10 targets out of nowhere, but okay.
He did! did. He did. We should keep doing that every week. Terrence Marshall, 10 targets. Get it going, Bryce Young.
Really did a lot for them. I mean, scored like 6 points on offense.
All right, who's next? Are you next or me next?
I think you're next, yeah.
New York Jets. Denver Broncos. The Broncos are a 2-point favorite. Who you got? And why is it the Jets?
This is the one you have to pick, but you know why I'm on.
It's the Jets. There's no way.
Jets.
I think two points is ridiculous because I think there's more scenarios where they just outright lose this game than not.
Same.
It's the Jets.
This is Zach Wilson, big game. G-A-T-S, Jets.
Well, I get, so like they're at home, so they're favored. But what about the Broncos defense has you have any faith that they're going to pull this one out? And even if they pull this one out, what makes you have any faith they're going to pull it out by more than 2 points? I don't know, man. I don't see it.
Unless it was just like a flash in the pan, which I'm refusing to believe from Zach.
It's the Bears defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's as I said,
the Bears Broncos. Me and you are closer than the Bears defense and the Jets defense.
True. And yeah, I mean, as I said, it's the worst defense in terms of DVOA ever recorded, like in the history of football so far. So this is Zach Wilson, big game.
I this is plus 2 right now. I swear to God, when Sunday comes up, this is the 4 o'clock game. When Sunday comes up, this line is going to be like flipped. There's no way, huh?
I believe it was 3 or 4 before the Sunday night football game. So Broncos were favored by 3 or 4. Before Zach Wilson's big game.
This line is getting flipped. There's no way that the Jets are favored going into this game at start time. I refuse to believe it. I refuse. At the best case, it's going to be a pick 'em. I'm telling you.
Yeah, which is a pretty big swing. Like 2 points in 3 days, four days. Pretty big swing.
No, you're going to have a mass bet on the Jets, and they're going to give me my 2 points.
Same.
Okay.
All right, next game.
Next game, it's the Dallas Cowboys at the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are 3.5-point favorites. Over-under is 45. And I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys. Plus 3.5.
Okay.
I think this is a field goal game.
Okay.
You are clearly not with me.
No. Give me the 49ers. I think, listen, is there a chance this is a 3-point game? Absolutely. Both defenses are phenomenal. But I think there's more scenarios where the 49ers just rout the Cowboys in this game. No. Give me the 49ers. It wouldn't shock me if the 49ers routed this team too. And that's why I'm going with them. I don't think that'll happen. I think this will be a close game. But no, I want the route potential. Give me the 49ers.
It's probably like never good to pick Dallas, but here I am.
It was last week.
It was last week, I guess. Yeah. I didn't pick them.
Nor did I.
Last game.
Green Bay Packers favored by 2.5. At the Las Vegas Raiders. Oh.
Jimmy G is probably back. Not sure if that changes that much.
Give me the Packers.
Okay. And the number is tough because if it was 3.5, I would probably be with the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2.5, it's such a close number.
That's basically saying, like, I don't even know. That's saying that if the Packers win by a few, that's basically like calling this an upset. Picking the Raiders is calling this an upset almost.
Yeah, because I think the Packers probably win it. But I think there's some value here in Las Vegas. I wish it was 3, but I'll take Las Vegas still. +2.5.
Okay.
Okay. So those picks are in the book. The rest of the teams are, of course, on bye. So we have how many games this week? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We have 14 games this week.
Yep.
Okay. Did we forget anything? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Although I will say I did look at the Thursday night game for next week and I laughed. It's Broncos Chiefs and the line is already 10. So.
What?
The 49ers at Browns has a lower point spread than the 49ers and Cowboys.
The 49ers are at home. So they are essentially telling you that they think the Niners are like a 2-point favorite in a neutral game side versus the Cowboys, and they are a 4.5-point favorite in a neutral side versus the Browns.
I guess that's fair. That's fair. But...
Oh, Seattle plays Cincinnati that week as well. That should be fun. Coming out of a bye for Seattle. Okay. Show is in the books.
You do the.
I like
outro.
The new format. I like the format.
Do the damn outro. I'm too depressed for this.
If you listen this far, thank you. As Angela usually likes to say, we have a fancy donate button now. And as I usually like to say, don't forget to subscribe to the show. If you're listening on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Turn notifications on. And if you're listening on like podcast, Spotify, wherever, give us a review. 5-star review, just nothing else. Just 5-star reviews. And leave us all of the comments and reviews in there that you would like us to read. And yeah, hope you enjoyed like the new format of the show so far. I think it allows us to do much more with it, and it's a better format overall. I think it's not as boring, to be honest. So yeah, hope you enjoyed it. I did. So, depressed Angelo, do you have anything else to say?
Screw the Bengals.
Have a nice one, guys.